Good morning. My name is Rich Teal. I'm one of the elders here at Grace, and I guess I have to call myself one of the pastors too since I came on board. Just want to welcome all of you here in the worship center and those watching online. Love that song, "He is my portion and my salvation." Isn't that true? We can't do this without him. So yesterday, we had the opportunity to share the first birthday of one of our grandkids. She's the only one in town, so it's really cool to be able to do that with her. But it kind of brought us back to, got me thinking about when our kids were little. Deb and I, we have five kids, a girl and four boys. And you can tell that by the lines on our face and the gray in the hair, at least my hair. I'm actually only 45 years old. It's just taking a toll on me. I'm just really grateful that my kids are out of school and out of the house, because I can't imagine what it would be like trying to work from home, help your kid go to school remotely, and it's been really difficult. So raising kids is tough enough, and this last year has been even worse. And my mom used to say, "Oh, it was so much easier when you were a little kid." I mean, there was like, what, three channels on TV, there was no social media, there was no internet, there was none of that stuff. Drugs weren't so prevalent, like the video games. Who's old enough to remember Pong? Yeah, there's a lot of you. I mean, that game moved like lightning fast, didn't it? It's like, we tried to get a video of it, it just didn't work, but that was high tech back then. Nowadays, it's like, it's just crazy. So I don't know if it was any easier back then than it is now. I don't think it's ever easy raising kids. It's not an easy job, but it is probably one of the most rewarding things you'll ever do. Remind yourself of that every now and then, that it is a rewarding thing to do. But it's really cool, as we've seen our kids are all grown, there's only one living at home. They're starting families of their own. So they're now beginning to see what they were like when they were kids. Chaos, toys all over the place, crying, screaming, disobedience, you know, disciplining, all that stuff. They're getting to experience that for the first time. And if you have multiple kids, you know that none of them are the same. Between our five kids, they're all different. There are times we would punish one of the boys and we had to send him to the room for time out. You know, they'd hate that. And my daughter, who's like a bookworm, she always spent time in her room reading. When we punished her, we'd say, "All right, young lady, you have to go outside and play." And she'd say, "Oh no, Daddy, don't make me do that." And I'm only partially kidding, they're all different, aren't they? You have to treat them differently. You have to discipline them differently, and you have to love them and care for them differently. But each one is special, aren't they? Each one is special. I mean, when I think of my kids, I don't think of them as a group of five. They're individuals. It's Casey, it's Jared, it's Alex, it's Brad, it's Colin. Each one is individual, each one is special. And I know you guys think the same way. And I remember when my mom and dad tried to make me feel special when I was a kid. We tried to do that for our children as well. And I hope you feel special too. Because, I don't know, when we made an awful lot of mistakes as parents, we didn't do it right all the time. I'm normally a really big, patient guy. But kids can take you from here to there like in a second. And I'd lose my patience, and I didn't always discipline right. Sometimes I'd be too harsh. Sometimes I'd say yes when I should say no, and no when I should say yes. And man, we just didn't get it right all the time. But you know what? They seem to have turned out okay. Why? Because love. Love covers over all of that stuff, doesn't it? Despite the mistakes we make, when you tell them you love them and you show them that you love them, they forget about it. They forget about those mistakes you made and how harsh you might have been. I just think about the moms who go through childbirth. Do you remember that pain, how hard it was or how much it hurt? Maybe some of you do, I don't know. But I would think once you got that little bundle of joy in your arms, that kind of fades away. And hopefully that's the same with kids, that if we make a mistake, the love that we show to them covers it up. So 1 Peter 4:8. Says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. So when we made mistakes parenting, hopefully our love helped them come out unscathed through all of this. Because each one is special. Each one of our kids is special. How about you How do you feel today? Do you feel special? Are you going through some stuff that, yeah, it's hard and you don't feel that way, but remember this. God, your Heavenly Father, thinks you're special. He thinks you're special. Psalm 139, 13 to 14 says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You're special because God created you that way. He formed you before you were born. He made you exactly as he wanted you to be. Exactly as he wanted you to be. And he made you for a purpose, for his purpose. Now, as earthly parents, we made a lot of mistakes. And in spite of those mistakes, hopefully love prevailed. God doesn't make mistakes. As your Heavenly Father, he doesn't make mistakes. His love, while ours is imperfect, his love is perfect. It's unconditional. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you less or more. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate his love from you. That ought to bring a sense of real gratitude, but also, he thinks you're special. You think about all the attributes of God, his holiness, his righteousness, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. Over all of that is what? Love. Love. 1 John 4:8 says, Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Not that God does love. God is love. Now, as human, I can't comprehend that we have a being who is love. That means everything he does emanates from his love. There are no conditions. He loved us when we were still sinners and we did not know him. He's calling right now. He loves us still, even though we deliberately disobey him. He still loves us. He loves us with our bad attitudes and our sinful hearts. No matter what you have done or what you're going to do, nothing will change how much he loves you. That ought to bring huge comfort to us, an assurance that we're one of his special children. And while you may not think that or feel that about yourself, that you're special, it really doesn't matter what we think. It's what God thinks. He thinks you are special. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And Romans 12, 3 says, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. We are called to be humble and to not think of ourselves more highly than we should. But we're also not to think of ourselves more lowly than we should. I mean, the verse in Romans says, think of yourself with sober judgment. That means we are to think of ourselves about just where we are. This is where I am. I'm not here. I'm right here where God put me. And yet, while the verse in Philippians says we should think of others and value others more than ourselves, God doesn't do that. He doesn't value you over me. I'm supposed to value you over me because my selfish heart is always going to lean towards me. So I have to deliberately say, no, Lord, not me, them first. But God doesn't view it that way. Everybody's the same. He loves each of us the same. Because you're special. He created you uniquely and specially for his purpose and his pleasure. Ephesians 2:10 says, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. He prepared in advance for us to do. He created you to do his work. In his eyes, you're special. But he also knows you intimately. I mean, he knows your thoughts, your desires, your motivations, your fears, your anxieties. He knows where you're tempted and where you're not. And he loves us anyway. He loves us in spite of that. But not only does he love us, he holds us in high regards, despite all the flaws, all the failures. I mean, by the end of the day, how many times are we going to have a sinful thought or we're going to mess up? We may not even make it out of this sanctuary. And God says, I love you anyway. And he holds us in high regard. He loves you so much that he sent his son. He sent his son to die for us. And then he has poured out all the blessings of heaven he has given to us. And he has made us his children. He's made us an heir. Romans 8:17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share with his glory. He sent his son to die for us because he thinks he's special. He pours out all the blessings of heaven because he thinks we're special. Now he's prepared a place in heaven for us because we're special. And then he topped it off by giving us his Holy Spirit to live in us. Because he says, look, you can't do this on. You can't live this life of faith on your own. You can't appreciate me. You can't even get to know me intimately without this Holy Spirit. So he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us in this. Man, do you know how special you are this morning? I mean, do you really know it? Because if you do, it should change everything, shouldn't it? It should change everything when you know that you're loved and cared for by your Heavenly Father. It gives us that freedom to be more generous. It gives us that freedom to give and to share and to love and to sacrifice and to serve because he's got our back. He's caring for us while we can go and care for someone else. It should give us that confidence to go before his throne because we have that confidence that whatever we say to him, he already knows. He's not going to punish. He's not going to love us any less. He's not going to get mad at us if we have some doubts or some fears. He loves you. So that should give us confidence to approach his throne and to open up our hearts to him and really be honest and say, Lord, I'm angry today. Or Lord, I don't understand this. Or Lord, I think I doubt. He can handle that. He's not going to think any less of us if we do that because you're special in his eyes. And as we desire more of him, we get close to him, we're going to have a desire for more of him. We're going to have a desire to live for Jesus more. We're going to have a desire to be in his word more. As we get to know him and know we have that confidence in him, it should open up the door. It's freedom. When he said he died to come and set us free, he did. Free from sin, free from temptation, but free from the boundaries of being afraid of him. Now, being a special child of God is not going to shield you from the trials of life. There are several people probably in this very auditorium who are going through some really tough stuff. He never promised he would keep us from that, but he promised he would walk right beside us when we went through it. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us in that. He will be with us always. So what are you feeling like today? Feeling a little down? Things not going well in your life? Remember that you're a special child of God. Made in his likeness, filled with his spirit, made for a purpose according to his will, his design, by the God of the universe. Our Heavenly Father. Now, it's hard to relate sometimes to a Heavenly Father if our own Father, earthly Father, wasn't a good example. I mean, it's sometimes hard to, how can we envision an angry God or an abusive God? That's not the God we serve. That's not the God that loves us. He thinks you're special and he loves you. He wants what's best for you, even when it doesn't look that way. Are you a child of his today? See, to be an heir with Christ, we have to be a follower of Christ. We have to believe first to be an heir. Is that where you're at today? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, if you feel him tugging at your heart, don't leave here today without dealing with that. Don't leave here today. Become a child of his. So I'm going to call the worship team up. It's a short message this morning for some obvious reasons. But if they could come up and we can continue on worshiping. But let's make sure that we remember that God created you special. That no matter what other people think, you are. You're his. Loved by him. Cared for by him. Let's give our heart to him today. Let that turn us free. Let it loose so that we can go out and serve him in a way that honors and glorifies his name. Let's not live defeated lives. Let's live victoriously. He's given us everything we need to do that. So as we leave here today, know that you are deeply loved, deeply esteemed and cared for by our God in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we go through the things in life, and sometimes we feel lost. Sometimes we don't feel like we measure up. And Lord, do you look at us all the same, no matter what we've accomplished in this world, no matter how much money we make, no matter what kind of degrees or letters we have after our names, you look at none of that. You look at our hearts. You look at us, your children, who you've made. And I'm so grateful that you love me and you think I'm special. So grateful that before I was even born, you had a purpose for my life. Lord, my prayer for myself and everyone here, Lord, is that we would seek after you and we would seek after accomplishing that purpose for your glory and for your name's sake, for the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, may by knowing that you have us, we can now go and care for one another and go out into this lost world and let people know who they feel defeated, who feel lost, who feel like a failure, that you love them. May we share your good news with a dark world. Lord, we need you desperately. We can't do this without you. And I'm so grateful that you have given me your Holy Spirit to walk with me, to enable me to live and love you more. So, Father, may your name be praised. May you be pleased with the worship that we're going to continue giving to you. And not just today, tonight, as we sing hymns, praises to your name. But tomorrow morning when we wake up and have to go to work, may it be with a different attitude, an attitude of, I'm doing it for you today, Lord, not me, for you. That our heart's desire would be to serve you, love you, share your good name with other people, further your kingdom, so that other people may know the joy of being part of your family, the joy of being cared for and loved by a Heavenly Father, that they're special as well. Thank you, Lord, for this day. May your blessing be upon our church as we move forward in our mission for you. And we're going to give you the praise in all of it. In Christ's name, amen.